from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
3:30 today on Grant and Danny. We're going to take a look at how Philadelphia responded as a football market to acquiring Jahan Dotson for a third-round pick. 4 o'clock, we've got those tickets to see Jason Aldean at Jiffy Lube Live. You better be listening. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm Condori and Murad. They're going to guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with our estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them G&D sent you to get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Santana Moss is one of the best wide receivers in Washington football history. 581 catches, 7,800 yards, and 47 touchdowns. And we're lucky enough over the years to be able to say we've gotten to know Tannen, consider him a friend of the show, and he joins us now on the BetQL guest hotline. Santana, thanks for a few minutes, man. How you been?
Always good, buddy. How you doing, man?
Doing very well, pal. Appreciate you hopping aboard. So a lot of different things we want to ask you about the receiver room right now. But let's just start with the trade of Jahan Dotson. Were you surprised that they moved on from him just a couple years after he really showed well as a rookie?
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised, man. I think when it comes down to just seeing what he did his first year and then following up his second year, probably wasn't the best. We probably could have got out of him his second year, but there was so much going on with that offense and them passing the ball as many times as that they did. You know, I thought this year was going to be kind of that year to rewrite anything that he didn't do last year and really, you know, give us a reason to continue to love him, because that first year, man, he had a dynamic start to that year. He got hurt, and that kind of now leave us all to, you know, believe like that was probably one of the better years that he had, and hopefully, you know, we could probably see him do something. Let me take that back. I don't hope that he does nothing over there in Philly, but man, he's one of my good little buddies, man. So I'm wishing him much success, you know, and hoping that he just have a clean bill of health.
He can have success 15 games a year. I think that's a good compromise, Santana.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah. What do you think went into the decision? Here's what I can't get past, and I don't want your opinion on this as a guy that's been around the league so much. For somebody to say, I'm willing to take a third-round pick in a coming year to move on from what Jahan Dotson might do over the next 3 years, plus giving up a fifth-round pick as part of the deal, that's basically saying you're betting against a lot of production, I would say, for somebody that was a first-round pick and has enough, has shown some pretty good moments here, maybe not last year, but overall. What do you think went into the decision?
That's a great question, man. I think when it all boils down to it, I'm looking at a lot of different scenarios. I'm saying to myself, okay, if you look at it, he's going into his third year. If he plays well, we got to sign him next year. Do we want to do that? You understand? That's one. Or if he's just not the guy that we want right now, he's not fitting where we want to put him at. We don't really have a spot where we can really say it's home for him, whether it's X, Z, or in the slot. Do I risk having him go out here and have a good productive year? You know, because I do believe that he can play good football. Do I risk having him, having him on a team and he goes out there and play like he played his first year? Now we don't have a chance to really deal him and get nothing for him. You understand? So I look at it like that, man. And you know, but when it all comes down to it, this is a new staff.
Yeah.
You know, they don't owe him anything. He don't owe them much but to go out there and be the guy that they want him to be. And obviously he wasn't that guy, so they went on ahead and dealt him. And that's the only thing I could come up with. That's the conclusion I come up with. He just wasn't a guy that fit their mold or fit in the scheme that they wanted to go out there and see out of their wide receivers.
Santana Moss is with us on Grant and Danny. One of the things I heard yesterday, and really even before that, frankly, from people around the building, was that he's not as physical, whether that's willing as a blocker, catch point, whatever it is, as they're looking for. And that as they've harped on that, it hasn't really changed. And they see guys like Zacchaeus, who's 5'8", or others that maybe are a little bit more urgent or physical, let's say, than Dotson was, and it made them more of a fit. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on that, whether it's willingness as a blocker, you know, physicality at the catch point and what that means to you, because you were also not a big guy. You know, Dotson may have been even, I don't know, you'd have to tell me, maybe a hair bigger than you in terms of height.
Yeah.
But should that be an expectation that he's a blocker, a willing blocker, that he cares to do that? Like, what's your thought on all that?
Damn right. I think when you play this game, regardless if you have the ball in your hand at the receiver position or you out there being a decoy or blocking for either the passer, the guy who's running the football or one of your guys who's catching the ball, you got to go out there and win that battle. And I think if that's what something that was said about him, then you can pull up a couple of times. I've seen those slip screens and a guy dominating them, you know, or getting by him. I don't know if that was particularly the reason why, you know, they didn't want to have him around. But I just feel like one of the things about this game, and people take it for granted, that you think just because we catch the ball on the outside, that there's nothing else to our game. You know, I played with guys that was great pass catchers who really wasn't into the blocking thing, but they can get away with that. And then you have some staffs and some groups of coaches that don't tolerate that. You have to be a complete player. I grew up in a complete player kind of mindset because I was a guy also that played defense. So that's why when people kind of compare me to people, I'm like, well, you could never compare me to a small receiver, even though I was one of the smallest. It's because I was a guy that was tough as nails because I was a cornerback at first, you know. So I went through those years of tackling and having to, you know, open field tackles and stuff like that. So that's why it wasn't nothing for me to just be a receiver and take hits. But you have to be tough, man. You have to be tough. And I hate to hear that from you, because if you hear it, you heard it, then it was said. And you don't want that around hanging over your head as a receiver in this league, because that would definitely get you out the door quick. And I've been on teams, trust me. I've been on teams where I saw guys have that kind of notion about themselves, and trust me, they don't last long. But like I said before, when you a guy that's so good at what you do on the outside, then you may can go unscathed when it comes to, you know, playing. But I don't think he did enough on the outside for them to let that go by. So if that's something that they had, you know, question about, man, then I can easily see that being a reason that a coaching staff don't want you around.
Santana Moss with us here on G&D. You mentioned being on the outside, Santana. You were so prolific, through a huge chunk of your career, even here in Washington, and then kind of made that move into the slot. I think something similar was going on here with Dotson. Help folks understand, educate us a little bit here on what really goes into that. A lot of folks are just going, you're running routes just a little bit closer, but there's a lot more to it than that, and you thrived, obviously, in both roles. What was he going through in terms of those changes going from outside to maybe more primarily slot?
Well, honestly, I don't know what he was going through. Let me clear that up first. I don't really know. But I was hoping that when we came down to the 53-man roster that I was going to see Dotson with that kind of a role in the inside more so than the outside. You know, I saw him play, you know, enough football to say that he had enough game, especially in his route running ability, that I would have loved to see him be able to take on that role in the slot, because I know he's very shifty. He knows how to, you know, work his stems. And when you have that much room in the inside and with a little bit of speed, you can beat anybody. You know what I mean? Now, one of the things about playing on the outside, which what you just, you know, alluded to me playing most of my year at, when I came into this game, that's where they was already trying to put me at, in the inside. They were saying more so guys of my stature don't make it on the outside. And me and guys like Steve Smith and some other guys, you know, was able to prove them wrong, because, like I said before, he was just beast at what we did, I guess you can say. You know what I mean? Let me pat myself on the back a little bit.
Feel free.
Call myself one of them. But, you know, honestly, man, but you got to have that kind of mentality, man. You know, one of the things about this game, believe it or not, man, you know, you take it lightly and say they are receivers. They don't get hit. You got to have some, you know what, big kahunas, bro, to be out there. And when you're on the outside, it's the sideline, that defender, and you. What you going to do? So if you half of the time, you got to beat that guy. And if they're going to be physical, which I played in the physical era, you have to be just as physical. You have to be a guy that if you don't like using your hands, you got to use your hands. So, you know, I really don't know what it was primarily, but I was hoping that, because I didn't see a lot of success out there on the outside when I did see him have those matchups, I was hoping that he could easily transition into the slot. You know, I don't feel like I transitioned. I feel like the slot was my first, you know, that's where I kind of got my first start at in college. I was a slot receiver that then the next year when I became a starting star receiver, I played both D and inside. When I got to the pros, I just knew I was going in the slot, and I played my first 10 years on the outside. I didn't play the slot position until Shanahan, you know, came to me, and I was in year 10, year 11, year 12. So it should be easy to go inside, and I'm thinking that's what they're going to do with him in Philly, because they got two studs over there on the outside, man. If you can put Dotson amongst those guys and don't have to really, you know, ask much of him, you know, I hate to say it, I think he'll have a better outing out there with those guys, because he don't have to probably be used as much, you know. And I think over here with us, we was trying to really get that first-round pick out of him. You know, you got to be a primary guy. And if you can't be that primary guy, then I don't see fit for you on this team.
Santana Moss on Grant and Danny talking wide receivers. We'll get to the rest of the room in a moment. Wrapping up our Jahan Dotson conversation after he was traded in the division to the Philadelphia Eagles. Correct me where I'm wrong here, Santana, and just kind of coach me up on my philosophy on this. I don't ever really think that the argument someone struggles to beat press coverage should be a deal breaker, because I think you can coach them into free releases. Like, use stacks, use bunches, move guys around, get them in motion. Use the Mike McDaniel Miami Dolphins cheat motion if you need to. Why is that a good excuse? And I'm not saying that's the sole reason that Dotson fell out of favor or whatever, but you hear that with receivers generally. Like, oh, I don't know if he can beat press. I don't know if we can play him outside. What am I missing there?
What you're missing is if we're spending all this money for you to be on this team as a receiver, you should be able to do something that's, to me, that's wide receiver one-on-one. That's like the easiest thing you should be able to do when you play in a wide receiver position. And that's one of the reasons why people not going to change their offense for you, because you can't beat, you know, press. Now, like I said before, there are certain guys that you're willing to do that for. That's because those guys have something exceptional, you know, that most guys don't have. So you might say, hey, you know what? I'm going to bend a little bit and find ways to get this guy going. But like I said before, when you come in with that ticket, meaning that lottery ticket, and even though it's not really the lottery, but anybody in the first round is considered a lottery guy, you know, in our eyes, when you come in with that kind of price tag, teams ain't waiting on you. They want to see it now, you know. And like I said before, you would have hoped that, you know, he had that opportunity to have that time to grow. Because I really think he's going to have – I thought he was going to have a good year this year, just seeing some of the things I saw. But that just goes to show you, man, when you have other guys that's fighting for that same job, and the coaching staff is the kind of coaching staff that we have, hey, they're not here to be, you know, favoring nobody. They want to see who they have and They said it from day one. If you don't fit what we're trying to do, then you won't be here. And I guess that's what we can say, you know, when you look at this situation here.
Santini mentioned who they have. We know Terry McLaurin. After that, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to look. We've seen Dalmy Brown have good games, but hasn't put together seasons. Yeah. Zacchaeus has been a nice third or fourth option on some teams within the last handful of years. Luke McCaffrey, promising rookie. Jameson Crowder's in his 30s. I don't know how the depth chart's going to look outside of Terry McLaurin. How do you see it? How do you see this group? And who do you think kind of wins some of these roles here?
I think we both would be waiting to see it, honestly.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point you're making. We really don't know, but obviously these coaches have seen enough of the guys they have around. And who knows, man? I leave that door wide open for something down the road. You know, I'm one of those guys. I'm very optimistic about, you know, any and everything. And until the fat lady sing, until it's said and done, then I'm going to leave that door open that maybe we might can, you know, stretch our arms. We got the money. You know what I'm saying? You know how they got this little – mean, you know, Instagram thing, give me my money. We got the money. So if somebody out there calling for some money, if we want to spread our wings and give somebody some money, I know a couple of receivers that may, you know, be more than happy to, you know, partake in that trade. So who knows, man? I'm just, you know, I'm having fun with it a little bit, just talking. But I do believe that this staff has been doing their due diligence enough to know that, hey, you know, we trust in something that we're seeing from some of these other guys. Especially with guys like, you know, the kids coming over, playing the way he's played, being a guy that played in this league for, what, 5 or 6 years now, having one of those slot roles, who knows, he might be a guy that they lean on to play that slot area. Dalmy Brown, we've been waiting for him to, you know, surface. And I think sometimes people kind of, you know, don't understand that this league is nothing that you can just take for granted. You have to really come in and let the game slow down for you sometime. And a lot of times they don't give you time to do that. Well, fortunately for him, this is year four, and it seems to, from what I'm just seeing from preseason games, that things are slowing down for Dalmy. So I would hope that he's one of those guys to take advantage of that role. And then you got a guy like Luke McCaffrey. We know the tree he comes from, you know what I mean? So when you got a guy that's out there making the plays that I saw him make a week ago as a rookie, that's not a lot of room. And then you got a guy in Jameson Crowder. He's a veteran that can go out there, and we know we can get production from him in the slot. We know we can get production from him outside if we need be, but mostly in the slot and as a punt returner. So, you know, we look at it because it's not a lot of big names, but when you're trying to build a football team, you're trying to get the best for your buck. And when I say the best for your buck, mean if I can stretch one or two players because these guys play multiple positions, whether it's special teams and multiple wide receiver positions, then I might have to take a chance on losing a guy who I think has enough potential but not enough to go out here and beat out these guys, because I can get more out of these guys than I can get out of him.
Tana, before we let you go, I want to circle back to Dalmy for a moment. That was a good breakdown of each of the guys in the room. It seems like he would have the highest ceiling of those other guys competing for the second spot. Maybe I say that because he was taken in the third round, but we've seen him take the lid off, have a 100-yard game, catch a 75-yard touchdown. He's had a couple moments. But he's had really good camps before. He's had great preseasons before, and it hasn't really translated. Like, why might this be go time for him, do you think?
Well, one of the things I've learned about this league and this game, when you get new staffs that come in the door, and you was a guy that was basically on the cusp with the old staff, there's no room for you. You know, we already counting you out. And Dalmy, for some odd reason, I'm going to just put this out there, he's been playing his whole preseason with another guy with his number on. So when you know, when you see another guy wearing your jersey and you thought of yourself a little differently than this organization or this staff, that might make you get on your ball game and say, let me go out here and do something for this spot. Let me go out here and be the guy that I know I can be. Like I said before, I'm just speculating. I'm just talking right now. But who knows? Something has started a fire under him. And whatever happened, I'm happy, because I just know it's a privilege to play in this level. And when you have the intangibles that he has, especially the speed, the height, and we know he can be a playmaker when need be, when you have that, bro, all you got to do is drop your you-know-what and play some football. And that's what some of these guys got to do, man. You know, we get caught up into so much of this game, man. It's 11 men on the field. That's the luxury we have when we're on the field, offensively, defensively, and special teams-wise. It's 11 players total. As one guy, all I have to do is my job. I can't worry about the quarterback, the lineman, the running back, the tight end. All I got to do is do my job. When guys slow things down and start paying attention closely to their job, that's when the games get slower. That's when the games get easier. So I'm hoping that's what happened to Deami or whoever it may be in that opportunity, in that position to receive his opportunity. Just do your job. And I think that's what I've been seeing mostly from him this preseason, especially in, you know, in training camp. He's just going out there and handling his business. And I think it's a fine time for that for him.
We love talking ball, and we love talking wide receiver stuff with Santana Moss, who had 1,000-yard seasons four different times here in Washington, joining us on Grant and Danny. Hey, before we let you go, are you still a big movie theater guy, or has that slowed for you?
It slowed tremendously, man. You remember those days, huh? I used to go.
Dude, you used to go as much as I did. You were like a movie pass
man,
guy.
Every Tuesday. That was my little way of getting, you know, doing something, getting out of the house. I think now they kind of made us all couch potatoes, man, because they have all these streaming networks. So trust me, I'm still turning them on. I'm just on the couch now most of the time.
But have you seen Deadpool or no?
Didn't see Deadpool yet. No, I just saw Union the other day with Mark Wahlberg and Holly Berry.
On Netflix. It looks, was it good? It looks really good.
Yeah. It was, man. It was entertaining. It was pretty good. Just to see Holly in that kind of role, you know, Mark can do whatever, man. That dude there is phenomenal. I mean, he looks like he's like Marky Mark back when he was rapping and stuff. He still looks good, man. He's staying in shape and stuff.
Santana, he wakes up at his trainer comes to his house at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, that sacrifice, man. He's sacrificing that sleep to go out there and continue to look how he's looking, man, so he can keep doing what he's doing out here, putting up those movies, making those, you know, getting those big checks, man. I love it, man.
Making money.
You got to have that kind of commitment and determination, and he has it. He's been showing it from day one.
Danny, when I was – so this is back before I was married to kids and all that, single on the beat. I'd go to movies all the time, right?
Sure.
I'm either at the facility practice or I'm at the movie theater. And Santana was the only person I knew who would see more movies than me. I was like, we'd be in the locker room. I'm like, you haven't seen this.
He went through all the Oscar winners.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's like, I've already seen that. It's like you had free screenings or something at your house. I don't know how you did it.
Yeah, nah, you know, it was just Tuesdays was our day off. And that was my way of saying, hey, I'm not going to. Once I did my little regimen, you know, get my treatment, get my lift in, you know, I have nothing else to do. So I might as well go to the movies. And that was my thing. I had been doing it for so long that I just felt like, you know, why stop now? And I really didn't stop, like I said before. Like, it's just so much to watch streaming-wise.
Right.
If the stuff is in a movie theater, you can get it in 3-4 days. So, you know, if I miss something, I'm like, well, I'll buy it on whatever it comes out on, you know, Apple or, you know, whatever it may be, Disney or whatever. So that's what I've been waiting on for most of the stuff. But I'm an AMC guy, too. So I was a guy that was trying to make sure everybody stay watching AMC, go participate, you know, all that stuff. I still got my shares and my stock, so trust me, they ain't gonna lose me. I'm one of them guys that 30 years later, you're gonna hear the whole lawsuit fail in, and the people who got AMC stocks got paid. It'll be me, because I'm gonna hold on to my shares.
That is great. Tan, always the best, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Take care, fellas. Appreciate you.
Awesome having Santana back on the show. Nobody better to talk to after a big trade involving a wide receiver here in D.C. I think people might be surprised by the main takeaway in Philadelphia from the trade, like how they viewed this thing. Want to get to that next. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Friday, which means in lieu of a double play, we'll win off the field at 3:45 in 15 minutes. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. Thanks for making the show part of your day. Something cool happened in Nationals Park yesterday. I have not yet discussed on these airwaves. We will get into that a little bit later this segment, about 5 minutes out. Though, I want to start with the reaction to the Dotson deal in Philadelphia. I went back last night and just listened to the live segment when the news broke in Philly on our sister station there, and then read some of the reporting on Dotson to the Eagles. You know what their big takeaway was? It was kind of twofold. First things first, apparently one of the big gripes at training camp is that they need a receiver. So they've got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. They love those guys.
Rightfully so, yeah.
There's a massive drop-off after that, and I guess Johnny Wilson, the reports aren't glowing. The Florida State rookie that they drafted in the late rounds, they were hoping would be, you know, a third receiver at some point this year. Last year, Olamide Zaccheaus, at least partially, was one of those guys, caught 10 balls for them and bounced around on their depth chart. So they did want a third receiver, and they were hoping that they went outside the building to trade for someone to elevate the room. So I think they were excited that they went out and got the veteran receiver they wanted. That said, they were really, maybe surprised is overstated, but taken aback that they gave up a third-round pick. And I just thought it was funny. Like, if you listen to our show, you didn't really hear us talking that much about what a big deal the third-round pick ends up being. Because here, we were just surprised. Jahan Dotson is leaving. This guy was a first rounder. There, where they don't have the affinity for him and or, you know, there's no care about where he was drafted and the value in versus the value out and the net loss as an organization, they just keep reiterating, the Eagles aren't really and don't want to be in the business of giving up third-round picks to take flyers on guys. A third-round pick is not nothing. And it made me think maybe we undersold that part of it a little bit here. I brought it up very minimally yesterday. But, I mean, a late third-round pick is something. That's very, very different than a fifth or a sixth or a seventh-round pick, right? People say, well, Washington sent a fifth back to Philly. Sure they did. With all due respect, I mean, a fifth-round pick is, you know, Jordan McGee is a linebacker who might help you on teams and be a backup linebacker for the first couple of years. And that was going exceptionally well in the fifth round. It looked like you got a steel-type player. A fifth, not that big of a deal. A third, pretty damn big deal. So I'm not saying that it was a great return for Washington or anything like that. It was just interesting to me, the juxtaposition of what we were saying here and what they were saying there.
No, for sure. And I would say a couple things to that. Number one, they're used to Howie Roseman doing his business, right? And that is as shrewd and analytical and numbers-driven a general manager as exists. And you know, I know there have been some misses, probably more misses of late than there have been hits, but this is a guy that took them to a pretty high level, rebuilt very quickly. They got back to a Super Bowl and darn near won it, right? I mean, with a totally new iteration. And they have added talent. Every time there's a dip, they find a way to dramatically improve their roster. They've made big trades. I mean, think of the A.J. Brown trade that netted him, a guy that went for 1,400 yards last year and well over 100 catches. So they've swung big before and made some moves. This, to me, is a group where, and if I'm Roseman and company looking at it going, if our window is open right now, which I think they still think it is, a third round pick means less to us than the potential upside of having a slot receiver better than we could probably get otherwise, right? If it's not happening for, you know, I don't know, but Johnny Wilson or Paris Campbell, who has bounced around a couple different teams, this could be a nice little asset for us. Not that you think that he's going to go for 800 yards and be, you know, almost as dynamic as Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, but he could help them maybe more in terms of worth and that big catch here or there than in terms of overall production. Whereas here, I'm going, somebody's got to catch the football I need way more. If he's good, if he's bad, then we're not a Super Bowl contender. There, they need those special little sprinkles on top, these bits of seasoning, where maybe a third rounder is not as worth as much to them.
Totally. I mean, my hope is still that by adding the third rounder, it gives them added ammunition to go solve this problem now.
Mm.
Everybody thinks immediately when they hear that about the name Brandon Ayuk. I'm not opposed to Brandon Ayuk, but it doesn't have to just be him. There are a plethora of other wide receivers that you could make trades for. There are other guys that we know that are available and some that we don't. I mean, that's the beauty of the GM role, is you are building relationships and rapports with every other executive in football. You watch the Hard Knocks Giants offseason like I do,
mm-hmm.
and it's just one constant phone call process for Joe Shane, where he's on the phone with Elliot Wolf, and then he's on the phone with Howie Roseman, and then he's on the phone with Adam Peters, and you're just constantly talking to guys, and you're getting a feel from GMs what other teams think about players and who's available and who isn't and who you need to touch base on. So they know way better than we do what wide receivers might get cut right now,
mm-hmm.
what wide receivers are going to be on the team but are falling out of favor, what wide receivers might be really good and play a lot, but, oh, by the way, are available if you want them at the right price. It doesn't just have to be Brandon Ayuk, but the idea of right now having two third-round picks, having a couple extra sevenths coming over, it just all gives you more pick allocation and asset.
Ammunition, yeah.
Just put it all into a package and go get something if you want to. I just don't think they want to do that right now. I think in the grand scheme of things, that's next offseason for them. If they wanted to be aggressive enough to go get one of those receivers to help them right now, Danny, they probably would have had a different looking offseason.
Yeah, I think they would have done it. And I think if you, let's say for the sake of argument, and they weren't, as far as we know, but let's say they were in on the Keenan Allen bidding war, and Chicago won it, right, by offering the Chargers the most, okay? Then they're on the next guy, not doing quite what Ron Rivera did, where he dialed 1-800-QUARTERBACK and called every single team with a quarterback and asked if he could trade for them. Not quite to that level, but you would think there's some sort of plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D all the way down. If you didn't nail one of those guys in free agency, by the way, free agent receiver class and the tackle class, very weak on both counts. So sort of understood that there wasn't much they could have done in terms of maneuvering. You could have traded for somebody. If you don't land any of those guys, one would think in terms of normal logic, okay, if they couldn't land a veteran that's got some pelts on the wall, this is a good receiver draft, they'll draft a receiver. Now, people are going to say, they did, they drafted Luke McCaffrey. A compensatory third-round pick, number 100 overall. There are 32 teams. You can do the math pretty easy. That's basically a fourth rounder that they call a third rounder for, you know, whatever kind of purpose. It's third round extended. It's a glorified fourth rounder. I hope he hits. I hope he's awesome. But that's not exactly solving the problem. If you were in the Keenan Allen marketplace, which again, they weren't. I'm making this up. But if you were there looking for a guy that gets out of bed and catches 1,000 yards, and then you went, the fourth rounder's the same as that, I got news for you. It's not. Right? It's not the same tier. It's not even the same ballpark at this stage. You're hoping Luke McCaffrey one day becomes a starter, becomes a guy that you can count on. And if he ends up being more than that, that's awesome. But if you're in that big time market, then going very, very small time, there's got to be an intermediate step there, one would think. Right? So that's kind of sort of how I'd filter that.
All of our training camp coverage on The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Danny, yesterday we did the postgame show over at Nationals Park.
Yes.
I was over there early to watch the game before we did the postgame show. And I was sitting with Clary, and we were getting ready to, I think, even head over to the Red Box shortly thereafter to get ready for the postgame. But we were sitting in what was effectively a row by ourselves,
mm-hmm.
not a very well-attended game. It was a matinee game against a bad Rockies team. There's a number Rocky to be named later at the plate. Left-handed bat. And he shoots a foul ball coming right back toward your boys. Now, you know that Ryan Clary, earlier this offseason, had an opportunity to catch a foul ball. That would have been a home run, actually.
A home run, yeah.
And instead of trying to catch it,
he mooned it.
Turned around and stuck his butt out toward it while his buddy reached out and tried to grab it. This ball initially off the bat looked like it was coming right at us, and it kept sailing to our left.
It's okay. Got a little tail on it. It has
exactly.
to. Yeah, lefty
I mean,
spin.
But it's coming in hot, by the way. And so we're sitting. I hop up going, this is my chance. I've never caught a foul ball on the fly in my entire life. In fact, in game, I've never gotten a foul ball in my entire life, even bouncing around. My only regret is I wish I would have, like, sprinted and moved faster. But in the back of my head, like, people are watching me. I'm shuffling along. I don't look good. I don't need people, like, watching me do something athletic. Mm-hmm. All of these things.
Because what if it goes badly? What if you trip?
I'm not even as worried about that, but I had enough time that I'm thinking about, like, eyes are on me. Like, just don't overreact.
Play it cool.
Exactly. So I'm kind of slowly, but with some pace, making my way down the row toward where this ball and I are going to intersect, like, four seats to my left. I reach out with my left hand, as far out as I can reach, and the ball basically whizzes directly past my fingertip, off the seat, and caroms right back to me on the bounce. I have to kind of, like, bend down and pick it up right there, and I get the foul ball.
You got a foul ball for that.
I turn around.
Yesterday.
I did. I turn around, and Clary is still standing there, ass out, waiting for the ball to land. I don't know what... He just turned around and did the butt thing.
I'm so sure.
I guess it's just what Clary does all the time now.
You see a ball, you show your butt.
He's just showing his butt. What actually happened, though, is I turn around, and Clary's like, dude, you got a foul ball! And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, siced! And then right away, like, two kids, three rows down, are like, can I have it? And this one kid's like, please, please, please! And I was just like, sure, man. And I, like, toss him the ball. I give the kid the ball. And he's like, thank you. And then Ryan was salty that I didn't give it to him.
No, I just wanted to see it. That was it. I just wanted to see if there's any marks on it or anything like that. I just wanted to smell the leather.
Just get a little time with the baseball.
Yeah,
You ever smelled a freshly hit baseball that's been squared up that?
Oh, yeah.
I know what I'm talking about, right?
It came right for me a few weeks ago.
Yeah. In the butt.
Yeah. But anyway, it left a little perfume on your buttocks.
First time in game that I ever got a foul ball.
How about that?
I was so excited. And I almost, like, legitimately made a hell of a catch. I had to be moving a little bit quicker. I just didn't have the urgency necessary.
You have a great break on the ball.
It was one of those things where the time to stand up, like, my pop time wasn't good enough.
Sure.
Right? If I got to my feet a little quicker and or if I was moving a little faster, I'd probably make a lunging left-handed, barehanded catch. But instead, like, I committed to the bit too late, if that makes sense.
I know exactly what you mean.
Well, as someone who has gotten close a couple times this year, actually multiple times.
How close? Like, have you been hit by the ball?
Almost been hit by a baseball, yep. 109 miles per hour off the bat by Wilson Contreras.
What'd you decide to do?
I turned to my side.
Yeah.
Not the back side, but the side.
Yeah.
No, it was the side. There is video evidence of this as well, but... That's another story for a different day.
You know what Joe Buck said about what you did? It was a despicable act.
I know. I'm sure. That's a good one. That's a good bit.
That's a deep cut.
That's really good. Bit. But, I mean, I think...
Ryan Moss over
Grant, there. I think you kind of went through the same thing. It's like you freeze, and you're like in shock almost that the ball is coming to you. That's kind
of
what it is.
Yeah, I did freeze. I think if I was standing at the moment of contact, though, I would have gotten there. It was just like I'm sitting... Now I got it. It's not easy to get this big engine moving here. To get to my feet and then get going to the left, shuffling along, I wish I would have been a little more aggressive. If no one was in the ballpark, I would have been like playing shortstop, just diving. Worst case scenario, you make an ass of yourself to yourself. But knowing everyone's watching me, it was almost like I played it cool. And then at the end, I'm like, damn, that could have been it. That could have been I got within probably 3 inches of catching it. If I wanted it a little bit more, I'd catch a awesome falling catch. And that's what I needed. That's what I wanted.
So, out of those, we got to jump. But speaking of playing it cool, totally unrelated. Just, I thought of this. When my son was at soccer practice, I was like, went for a little bit of a walk. Ball leaves this other field, okay, as I'm walking. And I'm going to play it cool and kick it back to the kids. You know, now I'm not doing, here we go, guys. I could have just picked it up and thrown it to him. I was like, yeah, watch this. I'm going to kick it. In my mind, I'm going to kick it. It was wet. I didn't know it. Ass over tea kettle.
No.
I go to kick it. It goes about 6 feet, and I'm horizontal.
Oh, that's
and
terrible.
I land, just splash, gross mud. This was in the spring.
Oh,
but it reminded me of that. When you're like, yeah, I'm trying to play it cool, and then at the very end, you put a little effort, and it goes terribly.
Friday double play means winning off the field next on Grant and Danny.
Winning off the field?
All I do is win, win, win. No,
it is time to figure out how you're winning off the field. Double play driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal, rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Winning off the field, we do still to this day, once a week, thanks to the great Bruce Allen, a legend around these parts, ran this team so well. Did have a better draft history than Ron Rivera, if you look at it.
Yeah, but it's true.
Always good. He once said these words: "We're winning off the field. We got to start winning on the field."
And it stuck with us because that's a way of life. That's not just some sort of thing that you say once a week for shtick. That's how you've got to approach it. Your small victories, your little minor things that most people wouldn't care about, let's celebrate those things. Let's bring some light to those special times.
Winning off the field.
There you go, Bruce. Atta baby.
So, it is time to figure out how you're in the win column. Danny, give him an example.
This morning, at my homestead, Brian, Ryan, and Ben all came over. We played pickleball at my house. I got a sport court in the backyard, and we played some pickleball there. I didn't have to go very far. I didn't have to drive anywhere. I went inside to use my own bathroom when I was done, drank my own water. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
And on the court. Ryan said that your sport court is incredible.
It's pretty amazing, dude.
He said it's like mind-blowingly nice.
Uh-huh.
I'm coming to shoot hoops.
You are more than welcome.
It's going to happen. I'm going to work on the jumper.
You are more than welcome. Get some shots up. You can borrow my weighted vest.
I will not wear a weighted vest.
You can borrow the weighted vest.
You're training for the Olympics.
You can borrow the weighted vest.
You're very sweet of you. Thank you. Uh-huh. Say it one more time, then I'll borrow
it. I'm just telling you, you can borrow it. Like you're going, I don't know if I can. I feel nervous.
That's the problem.
Don't feel weird.
It's me not knowing if I can borrow it.
You are permitted to borrow it.
Well, if I can borrow it, then I'll borrow it. Rich and only, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, boys?
Hey, buddy.
Good man.
I'm a little disappointed in Grant. I feel like there was a lack of hustle to get this baseball because I've seen him catch a Miller Lite while hanging off the top of a bus.
It's true.
It's a good point.
When he had enough effort.
It's the greatest catch I've ever seen.
I want to throw that out there. Greatest catch ever.
It's the best catch I've ever seen. Rich, it's the best catch I've ever seen.
It was a good catch.
Ever in life.
I think Gary Matthews Jr. scaling the center field fence a little better. Maybe Willie Mays losing his hat.
Was he buzzed on a moving bus?
He was not. No, he was not.
Defied gravity the entire way.
It was a good catch. I appreciate that. I feel honored for you remembering.
Well, today I go into work. It's truck day, so I go in at 6 a.m., unloaded my due. Boss goes, all right, you're all set. If you want to roll out early, it's all good. I take the kids up to the pool, and like it's Father's Day off, the dads are all at a table with a big old cooler of beer, almost like they're waiting for me. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
That ain't bad.
It's a good day at the office.
That ain't bad, Rich.
And then a better day after. Let's go to Maddie in Stafford. Hello, Matt.
I just crossed over the Patuxent River in Calvert County. My God, it's so beautiful. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I know about some of those things.
I was going to say, that's you, right?
Well, King George country he's talking about down that way. I mean, that's not, Calvert County's not King George, but he's headed
down. It's adjacent, right?
In my neck of the woods. But you know what? I think he's winning off the field because he's in God's country.
There it is.
It's just him and some rolling roads and some greenery, some woods.
So I've heard people recently, a couple times, say Pawtuxent, like it's Pawtucket, like the Red Sox affiliate.
Yeah.
I feel like it's Patuxent, right?
I would lean toward that one.
Yeah.
For sure.
Did you guys down that way say, like, did you paw
or
paw?
I gotta be honest. I don't think I've ever said it once.
Okay.
I don't think most people talk about it. I think
it doesn't come up.
When I see it on signs or something, I think I would go with Patuxent.
Yeah.
But also, Matt's got some yinzer to him.
He does.
So maybe, like, his paw is actually more paw. Like, he's going to ask if you want a pop. It's not going to be a soda. He wants you to have a pop.
Because that's normally how we abbreviate things, the last part of it.
His over is over. He's got a little yinz to him. Oh, by the way, we should have asked him. He's got to be bummed because he's a Penn State mark. Jahan Dotson on the move.
Oh, it's tough for him.
That might hit him right where it hurts. Let's go to Armando in Salt Lake City, listening on the Always Free Odyssey app. What's up, Armando?
Hey, man.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Robert.
Your conversation with Santana reminded me of this. So I just turned 44, just younger than Danny. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you,
buddy. You're such a young guy.
That stings, by the way.
Compared to Danny.
I'm 44, not anymore. Damn it. Go on.
Yeah, I'll be there next year.
I know, buddy.
I stopped by the work cafeteria just the other day and just said hello to the cafeteria staff, and the nice young lady said, hey, have you seen Deadpool and Wolverine yet? And I said, no, I haven't. She said, well, you're in your early 30s, right? You're going to love the music. You'll be bouncing in your seat. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
First of all, that's a hilarious conversation starter.
I love that.
Secondly, what a gift it is to be assumed to be 12 years younger than you are. Drab asked me today, because I was telling him it was your birthday.
Uh-huh.
And I said to Drab, I'm like, what are you, in your upper 30s? Or he's like, and he's older. He's in his 40s.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, dude. And he told me his age, and I said, oh. He goes, you're 40, right? I said, are you kidding? In 5 years, you know? Like, what do you mean, am I 40?
Isn't it funny how much offense you take?
Well,
to, like, what?
Like, seriously, yeah. Guy? I was 35 years ago. You think I'm about to be 40? That's not how time goes. But, I mean...
Yeah, but he's also getting up at 3 in the morning, and, like, night is day, day is up is down.
He's a good egg, but, I mean, my metabolic age is probably 67. You know, but let's not rush this
That's
thing.
That's not what we're talking about.
We don't have to go to that.
No, just dates.
Grant and Danny on his birthday on The Fan next. Ahead of the Beltway Blitz, we're giving away Jason Aldean tickets right here on G&D.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Winning off the field.
All I do is win, win, win. No,
it is time to figure out how you're winning off the field. Double play driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal. Rugged and capable Honda pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Winning off the field, we do still to this day, once a week, thanks to the great Bruce Allen, a legend around these parts, ran this team so well. Did have a better draft history than Ron Rivera, if you look at it.
Yeah, but it's true.
Always good. He once said these words. We're winning off the field. We got to start winning on the field.
And it stuck with us because that's a way of life. That's not just some sort of thing that you say once a week for shtick. That's how you've got to approach it. Your small victories, your little minor things that most people wouldn't care about. Let's celebrate those things. Let's bring some light to those special times.
Winning off the field.
There you go, Bruce. Atta baby.
So, it is time to figure out how you're in the win column. Danny, give him an example.
This morning, at my homestead, Brian, Ryan, and Ben all came over. We played pickleball at my house. I got a sport court in the backyard, and we played some pickleball there. I didn't have to go very far. I didn't have to drive anywhere. I went inside to use my own bathroom when I was done, drank my own water. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
And on the court. Ryan said that your sport court is incredible.
It's pretty amazing, dude.
He said it's like mind-blowingly nice.
Uh-huh.
I'm coming to shoot hoops.
You are more than welcome.
It's going to happen. I'm going to work on the jumper.
You are more than welcome. Get some shots up. You can borrow my weighted vest.
I will not wear a weighted vest.
You can borrow the weighted vest.
You're training for the Olympics.
You can borrow the weighted vest.
You're very sweet of you. Thank you. Uh-huh. Say it one more time, then I'll borrow
it. I'm just telling you, you can borrow it. Like, you're going, I don't know if I can. I feel nervous.
Yeah,
I feel weird.
That's the problem.
Don't feel weird.
It's me not knowing if I can borrow it.
You are permitted to borrow it.
Well, if I can borrow it, then I'll borrow it. Rich and only, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, boys?
Hey, buddy.
Good man.
I'm a little disappointed in Grant. I feel like there was a lack of hustle to get this baseball, because I've seen him catch a Miller Lite while hanging off the top of a bus.
It's true.
It's a good point.
When
it's true.
Had enough effort.
It's greatest catch I've ever seen.
I want to throw that out there. Greatest catch ever.
It's the best catch I've ever seen. Rich, it's the best catch I've ever seen.
It was a good catch.
Ever in life.
I think Gary Matthews Jr. scaling the center field fence a little better. Maybe Willie Mays losing his hat.
Was he buzzed on a moving bus?
He was not. No, he was not.
Defied gravity the entire way.
It was a good catch. I appreciate that. I feel honored for you remembering.
Well, today I go into work. It's truck day, so I go in at 6 a.m., unloaded my due. Boss goes, all right, you're all set. If you want to roll out early, it's all good. I take the kids up to the pool, and like it's Father's Day off, the dads are all at a table with a big old cooler of beer, almost like they're waiting for me. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
That ain't bad.
It's a good day at the office.
That ain't bad, Rich.
And then a better day after. Let's go to Maddie in Stafford. Hello,
Matthias.
I just crossed over the Patuxent River in Calvert County. My God, it's so beautiful. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I know about some of those things.
I was going to say, that's you, right?
Well, King George country he's talking about down that way. I mean, that's not, Calvert County's not King George, but he's headed
it's
down.
It's adjacent, right?
In my neck of the woods. But you know what? I think he's winning off the field because he's in God's country.
There it is.
It's just him and some rolling roads and some greenery, some woods.
So I've heard people recently, a couple times, say Pawtuxent, like it's Pawtucket, like the Red Sox affiliate.
Yeah.
I feel like it's Patuxent, right?
I would lean toward that one.
Yeah.
For sure.
Did you guys down that way say, like, did you pause?
I
got to
be honest. I don't think I've ever said it once.
Okay.
I don't think most people talk about it. I think
it doesn't come up.
When I see it on signs or something, I think I would go with Patuxent.
Yeah.
But also, Matt's got some yinzer to him.
He does.
So it may be like his paw is actually more paw. Like he's going to ask if you want a pop. It's not going to be a soda. He wants you to have a pop.
Because that's normally how we abbreviate things, the last part of it.
His over is over. He's got a little yinz to him. Oh, by the way, we should have asked him. He's got to be bummed because he's a Penn State mark. Jahan Dotson on the move.
Oh, it's tough for him.
That might hit him right where it hurts. Let's go to Armando in Salt Lake City listening on the Always Free Odyssey app. What's up, Armando?
Hey, man.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Robert.
Your conversation with Santana reminded me of this. So I just turned 44, just younger than Danny. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you,
you're
bud.
Such a young guy.
That stings, by the way.
Compared
to
Danny.
I'm 44, not anymore. Damn it. Go on.
Yeah, I'll be there next year.
I know, buddy.
I stopped by the work cafeteria just the other day and just said hello to the cafeteria staff, and the nice young lady said, hey, have you seen Deadpool and Wolverine yet? And I said, no, I haven't. She said, well, you're in your early 30s, right? You're going to love the music. You'll be bouncing in your seat. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
First of all, that's a hilarious conversation starter.
I love that.
Secondly, what a gift it is to be assumed to be 12 years younger than you are. Drab asked me today, because I was telling him it was your birthday.
Uh-huh.
And I said to Drab, I'm like, what are you, in your upper 30s? Or and he's older. He's in his 40s.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, dude. And he told me his age, and I said, oh. He goes, you're 40, right? I said, are you kidding? In 5 years, you know, like, what do you mean? Am I 40?
Isn't it funny how much offense you take?
Well,
to, like, what?
Like, seriously, guy? I was 35 years ago. You think I'm about to be 40? That's not how time goes. But I mean,
yeah, but he's also getting up at 3 a.m. and like night is day, day is up is down.
He's a good egg, but I mean, my metabolic age is probably 67. You know, but let's not rush this
That's
thing.
Not what we're talking about.
We don't have to go to that.
No, just dates.
Grant and Danny on his birthday on the Fan next. Ahead of the Beltway Blitz, we're giving away Jason Aldean tickets right here on G&D.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.